Welcome to Stripped Money Conversations. Welcome to a place where anybody can learn or talk about money. Whether you're young or whether you're old, whether you're married to the love of your life or even if you're married to your career, whether you have kids, are planning to have kids, or even if you're one of those people who just prefers pets, whether you're established or just entering the working world, welcome to a place where our conversations are not based on your bank balance, no, but they're based on your unique needs and ambitions. I am your host, Lungile Mashego. Remember that this show does not provide financial advice. These are just conversations between me and my guests, but I'd like to invite you on the journey so you and I can learn together. Sticking to a budget over the long term is one of the biggest challenges in personal finance. Yet it's also such a powerful tool for resolving financial problems and hitting your most important goals. But guys, have you heard about family budgets? I mean, getting your family to agree on what to have for dinner can be difficult, so getting everybody to agree on a family budget could also be a challenge. Today on the show, I have Diana Granew, founder of The Family Finance Show, which is a personal finance podcast just like this one, and she'll be taking us through the ins and outs of family budgets.
It was such a pleasure bumping into your podcast the other day, and I thought, oh my goodness, we are on the same vibe. So I'm really keen to understand how you got to start with the Family Finance Show. I mean, from running a tourism business, if I'm right, to do this, how did that come about?
Mm-hmm. So I started this travel business that you referred to called Leopard. I started it just before the global pandemic. So very unfortunate timing from that, from that perspective. It got off to a really, really good start. 2019 was an excellent year, much better than I could have imagined. But COVID happened and everyone stopped traveling. So I'm still running my travel business, but and I've seen some good signs wanting to travel again, which is quite positive for me. But last year in 2020, when I had a lot of time and no income, I started the Family Finance Show. And the reason I started it was because I wanted to contribute in a positive and I hope valuable way to the conversation on personal finances. I knew that I wanted to do something in the field of personal finance because I think so many people make quite disastrous financial decisions. So I wanted to put some good quality information out there to empower people to make better decisions. But the podcast format was actually Warren Ingram's idea. So that credit goes to him. And I really had excellent help in the beginning from two young guys, Steve and Gideon. It was very difficult to learn how to be a podcast host in the beginning. I'm not sure if you found the same thing, but yeah. I just learned by doing and yeah, here I am today.
What are some of the learnings that you've had from your show? Some highlights.
Sure. Sometimes the small decisions that we take are actually hidden big decisions in the sense that they have this ripple effect in our lives. Where we should live, what career to pursue, should we have children? Those are all big decisions that we know about. But sometimes it's the small things, like which car to buy or buying and selling your home too fast, that end up costing so much more than you think that it will. So I'm not a fan of extreme frugality because, you know, you only live once. But I think one of the things I've really learned doing this podcast is that people can avoid a lot of unnecessary waste by just making a few of these small adjustments and more carefully considering what they think are small financial decisions.
That's absolutely true. And I have to agree. In talking about adjustments, today I'd like to chat to you about family finances. We often hear a lot of information around how people need to create their personal budgets or budget as a couple, but we don't have a lot of information on family budgets. I'm not sure what your family situation is like, but how would you define a family budget?
The biggest difference I see in a family versus any other kind of personal finance budget is if you're single or you're in a couple, your budget involves much less compromise. especially if you're single, you're in full control of all your expenses. But when you're in a couple, you need to compromise on a few things, hopefully not too many. If you have similar values, then the compromises shouldn't be too painful. The more family members you have in your budget, the more compromise there is. So that's really the biggest difference I see from my perspective between a family budget and another kind of personal finance budget.
Cool. So why would one create a family budget?
To me, a budget is the first step to taking control of your finances. If you don't know how much money is coming in and how much money is going out, you definitely won't be making the right decisions. I think another reason to do a budget is to see where you're spending your money and if it aligns with your values and if it actually brings you happiness. So as an example, you might do your budget and you might find that you're spending 20% of your income on eating out. If healthy eating is a value of yours, then you might want to consider making adjustments to that component of your budget. So just being able to see where your money goes and question yourself on whether that's really what you value, I think that's another great reason to do a budget. I think people also avoid budgets, doing a budget, because they don't want to face reality. So if that's you, you need to realize that until you actually get a handle on your budget, you won't be able to make any real progress. So budgets are for everyone.
For everyone, even married couples. So yes. Let's get into the detail. What elements should be in your family budget?
So it can really be as simple, as complicated as you want it to be. I think you have to have two elements there, which is your family income and your expenses. So even if you and your spouse manage your money in separate bank accounts, you still need that overall view. So you need to get together and look together at how much income you're both bringing in. And you can, if you want to get more complicated, you can even give it different categories, like your primary income, your side hustle income, you might have some dividend income, something like that. And for expenses, you also might categorize it into whatever makes sense for your family. So housing, food, education, holiday. It really does need to be complicated. But if you have those two things, I think that's a starting point. And then obviously measuring your budget as you go along is very important. So if you budget 5,000 Rand a month for food, for example, you actually need to check each month that you're spending this amount on food. If you consistently over or under budget, you need to go back and adjust your budget.
Cool. Yeah, that's 100%. You've touched on this already, but what are some of the considerations that you should take when you create this budget?
So I suppose for me, having done the family budget for a while, inflation is one of the biggest things that I always forget about. So you've got to take inflation into account, because you shouldn't expect to pay the same to fill your tank this year as you did 5 years ago. You should also look at your risks. So you've got to look at your budget in context of your whole family situation, and there might be some financial risks. So you need to allocate some money to mitigate those risks. So it might be an emergency fund. It might be taking out insurance if you need it. And also you need to think about, you need to consider if you overspend or underspend in certain areas, what happens to that? So if you underspend on groceries, on education, does that extra money go into savings, or do you spend it on groceries or on holidays? So these are the kind of questions that you'll need to answer as you prepare your budget.
Cool. So I'm interested just to understand, how do you and your husband divide up the budgeting responsibilities?
So I do the budgeting. I don't think there's a correct way. So, everyone will have a different approach. So in our family, I do the budget, and then I discuss it with my husband, on a, twice a year, I think we do it. My kids are too young to be involved. Otherwise, I would actually involve them. As they get older, I'd like to involve them in the budgeting process. I think I find usually there's one person in the family who's more interested in budgeting than others. And so
yeah, the lead.
Yeah, that's the person. Yes, exactly. It's quite a boring thing to do. So in some situations, neither person wants to do it. And in which case you can do it together as a team. So you and your partner can just take a morning, a month or something and do the budget together, you know, whatever works for you.
Okay, you mentioned that you check with your husband about twice a year. How often do you, as the lead, take up on your family budget?
So I used to do it a lot more frequently than I do now. So our situation's changed slightly. When I worked for corporate for a long time in corporate roles, and I had a very stable income, so it was quite easy to do a budget monthly. So for many years, I did a monthly budget, and I would check whether we were on budget or not. Maybe every 2 months, I would draw the bank statements, categorize the expenses, and see if we were on track or not. So that was a monthly process for a long time. Our situation has changed a little bit now because both of us are entrepreneurs, so we both earn very erratic income. So it's kind of harder to do a budget because you're not getting that regular monthly income. So I do it less frequently.
Okay.
Although I do keep quite a close eye on expenses because with such an erratic income, you don't want to just overspend by mistake. So yeah, again, it really depends on your exact situation.
Okay, cool. That makes sense. You mentioned that you don't bring your children into this. What is your approach with them when it comes to money?
So my oldest daughter, she's 5, and she's starting to understand a little bit about money, how you earn money, and that you need money to buy things that you want. So what I've done with her is she had to buy a gift for a friend of hers, and we went to a toy shop. And I said to her, you can choose the gift, but it needs to be a budget of X, whatever it was. Let's say it's 100 Rand. So she could understand that there were certain toys that fit within that budget and certain toys that were too expensive, or she might even be able to buy 2 toys for 100 Rand. So I'm starting with small things that they can understand like that. Also, what I've done with her is her extra curricular activities. I've said to her she has to choose between, I think she was doing 3 different activities, and I said to her, look, we've only got a budget for 2, so you can choose 2 activities to do. That's all we've got money for. So these are some of the ways, just at this young age, that I'm trying to get her to understand how to budget and how much things cost, that kind of thing.
Okay, great. And how important is goal setting in your family planning process? I mean, we've talked about how you must make sure that you've got adequate insurance or an emergency fund allocated for in your budget. But how important is goal setting?
I think it's really important. I think people are so motivated by goals, especially children. So goal setting is important. The only thing that I would like to say about goal setting is, like, I remember stretch targets from when I worked in the corporate world. Sometimes we would be on projects where there were these very unrealistic stretch targets that were set. And I could just see the team was so demotivated from the start because you kind of knew you would never reach the stretch target. So people gave up before even starting. The goals have to be, so goal setting is really important, but like, just make sure that they're challenging enough, but attainable, especially for kids. They want to be able to see their progress. Like, a year for a child is a very long time. So if you're planning for an annual family holiday, you need to have some mini goals along the way, and you need to celebrate those wins, because, you know, that's what you should do as a team, is celebrate your wins. And I think it's the same in a family situation.
Completely agree. What other tips do you have when it comes to setting up your family budget?
So I think what people just think it's a numbers exercise, but it's not actually. It's a values exercise. And I think that people don't expect conversations that they're going to have with their whoever's a part of their family budget, because it could be their spouse, their children, or even extended family that they're supporting financially, grandparents, that kind of thing. So it's really a values discussion, because you're going to get into really quite interesting debates and discussions about, should we be spending more on holidays, or should we be spending more on education? And these are like really fundamental value discussions. So I think that's one of the biggest tips that I have for people is it's not a numbers exercise. It's a values exercise, and it's, as I mentioned, compromise. So make sure that you've got everyone to give their input. And the other thing, just quickly to, while I think of it, to mention is people beyond your immediate family might be involved in your budget. And I interviewed such a great guest. He was like one of my first guests on the show, Olani Sitole. And he spoke so clearly and such good advice for people who support extended family. And his view was that if some of your family's expenses are being spent on supporting extended family, they must be part of the budget discussion as well. So yeah, beyond your spouse and your kids, if it's your grandparents, your younger sister, your cousin, whatever, those people must be part of the family budget discussion.
That's a great perspective, and I quite enjoy your perspective on looking at it as a values exercise more than a financial exercise, because between you and me, my husband loves numbers and I hate it. So I quite enjoy the conversation around the budget more than I do just putting the numbers together. But I think I never thought about it as a values conversation that we're having, but it certainly makes sense now. Cool. So the show is called Stripped Money Conversations, and I always invite my guests to simplify one money term for our listeners. So it can be related to what we've discussed today or any other topic. If I were to ask you to strip down one money term, which one would it be?
So my favorite term is compound growth, but I'm not such a great teacher, and Sam Beck-Bessinger, who I interviewed on my podcast, she's much better at explaining this. It's quite a complex thing to explain, actually. So she uses such a great analogy of rats on a ship, but something that I think maybe relates more to this conversation and something that I can explain better. So if your income is higher than your expenses, which is what we've been talking about in the whole podcast, that gap that you've got, some people call it a wealth gap, budget surplus, there's different terms for it. That gap is so important because once you have that surplus, which it's hard to get to that point, but once you have that and you correctly invest the surplus, you will eventually earn an income from that, and you'll have so much more freedom to make decisions that you weren't able to.
Thank you so much for your time. You have been listening to an episode of Stripped Money Conversations. Please share the love by subscribing to this podcast wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. And let me know what you thought of this show on social media. Just search Stripped Money Conversations on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And if you have topic suggestions, please slide into my DM and let's see if we can make it happen. Have a good day.